This is a message preparing us for a look at the armor from Ephesians chapter 6. I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Again, we're looking at the truths unto godliness. Part 1 was the Christian fellowship, understanding what unites us in fellowship. Part 2 and 3, Christian conduct, our condition, what God has given us, and our concerns, the problems that we face. And then today, beginning the Christian conflict. This morning, dealing with our enemies, knowing your enemy is part of being prepared. And tonight, the preparation for the good fight of faith. And I've taken that phrase from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Paul says to his younger friend Timothy, also in the ministry, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. You have been called to eternal life, and you've been called to that work, to be called to the ministry of urging people to eternal life. But he encourages him to fight the good fight of faith. Turning then to Ephesians chapter 6, on either side of talking about the armor, he gives us the way to think about it, how to think about in preparation, how to think about it in actually doing it. It's this that I want to share with you. This is sort of an enhanced Bible study. This is looking at the passage, asking ourselves this question. If we join into the fight of faith, what may we expect to accomplish? What expectations might we have for what we hope to do in this battle? And here's what he says. Verses 10 and 11, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We're going to be trying to investigate what all these words mean and make that important to us. Then he says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, or having overcome all, to stand. So, let's take this apart, break into it a little bit, and try to get just a bit deeper. Number one, be strong. From Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong, but be strong in the Lord. This idea of strength, the same word is used in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So we are needing to be strong, but strong in the Lord. There is a thinking that says that the Christian needs to develop his own personal strength, the strength of personality, strength of preaching, the ability to manipulate people, and so on. This isn't God's way of doing it. This is not a man force to be growing and fighting the work of the devil. Rather, it is to be strong in the Lord. And this is the emphasis. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So to be strong in the Lord, not to be strong in yourself, means open yourself to the ability. This word for strong actually speaks of ability. This is not, I'm at a certain level, I need to be a little more. This is where you either don't have the ability or you do. To be strong in this sense is, I now have the ability to do what I didn't have the ability to do before. This was where I was weak, absent in strength. Now I have that strength. This is the paralyzed man who couldn't walk, being healed and now has strength in his legs to do what he couldn't do before. So open yourself to the ability that God offers. Open yourself up to it, recognize that he's offering it, and then accept it. Then you will be able to do what you couldn't do before. So be strong in the Lord. The armor will help you be strong in the Lord. Secondly, in Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the power. Here, the idea is the mighty power of God. And this completes the thought, be strong in the Lord. The strength won't come from yourself. But now he magnifies the strength that is available to you in the Lord. This is the mighty power of God. Ephesians 1:19 says, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? The King James margin says, or the might of his power. We need to recognize that we need a strength well beyond anything that we're capable of. To be strong in the Lord is to be strong in the Lord and in, to be strong in, the power of his might. Now this word power lets us realize we are entirely out of our depth to try to fight this fight in our own strength. We have to be clothed with the power of God. And then this phrase from Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the power of his might. Of his might. This is the word for strength that refers mainly to physical strength. This then is a picture of God having what would amount to us to be physical strength, the ability to push a rock over, you know, some physical strength. And we can be strong in his power of strength. So here is a picture that in this fight, we will become weary. We will need to rely on him giving us strength, lending us strength from his side of things. So we may become weary in the fight, but we must never be weary of the fight. I see the movies where the people have been fighting and fighting and fighting, and finally they're just tired of it, they want to give up. But to give up is to fail. To give up is to lose. But you see, to give up means I can't do it anymore. But that's okay for the Christian. If you thought you were the one doing it, then you had made a mistake. That your greatest strength will be when you are quietly, humbly, perhaps tearfully, on your knees asking God for his strength. The old saying is that the devil trembles when the weakest believer is on his knees. And why is that? Because he's calling upon the all-powerful God to step in. Again, then, in Ephesians 6:11, that ye may be able. The fourth point here is to be able. This is the ability that was mentioned in the word strong. Strong is having the ability versus not having the ability. So now he says, as you are empowered by that strength from God, you will have ability versus inability. By accepting the defenses and the weapons, the armor of God that he offers, we may receive the offer ability to fight. You know, the question has been asked by sociologists, psychologists, can people change at all? Is it possible for people to change? There's a standard answer today in psychology, and that is no, people don't change. So if you are suffering from addictive drunkenness, that's something you're going to have to face all your life. If you're a child molester that's come to the place where you have convinced yourself you enjoy that, that's what you're going to be forever. That people don't change. The facts are that people can and do change, but not by relying on self or psychology. So we are able to do this, but only by opening ourselves up to what God offers. That you may be able, in order that you may have this ability. Then the fifth place in verse 11, that you may be able to stand against. Now, the word against isn't actually there. This word is actually, this is a standing right up next to something. This is a standing to. The Greek word pros, right, standing up. I looked through the scripture to find another place where it says stand to. And I found Peter knocking at the door of the church. He was standing to the door, within knocking reach, you see. Mary was standing to the tomb of Christ. She was right there weeping. So, what does this mean? Well, it means that we're not skulking around the edges of the fight. To stand up right to that thing, Peter, right to the door, is that we're standing, have the ability to stand right up to the fight. We are the light of the world. This means we have to go face to face with the powers of darkness. Light doesn't struggle to overcome darkness. By being light, the darkness flees away. There is something of the scaredy cat nature in wickedness. And the light of God's truth disperses it, tends to. We are the salt of the earth. But the salt, to show its power, has to come right up against corruption. We're to stand right up to wicked corruption. So, this is where he wants us to be. This is what he gives us the strength to do and to be with his armor. And then, in verse 11, that we may be able to stand against what? Stand right up to what? What was the door that we're standing up to? The wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil. Wiles. You know, what is it? The wily fox or something like that. You know? What does this mean? Well, the Greek word means, it speaks of cunning arts, deceit, craft, and trickery. This is your magician. This is the person that says, look, I put this in this hand and it's gone, you know, and it's secretly over here in the other hand. We have some pretty good magic shows on now, Wizard Wars and Fool Us. Penn and Teller have been featured in these things. And we're seeing people do some rather amazing things. I was just at a magic lecture by a man named Nathan Kranzo, and he's already filmed his Wizard Wars thing, and I was able to ask him some questions about that. But this is the magician's trick. This is cunning art, deceit, craft, and trickery. This is because when I perform a magic trick for you, I intend to fool you. I intend to deceive you. Now, it's an honest deception because you already know that. You know it's not real. So it's an honest deception, whatever in the world that means. But the idea is that it looks like it's impossible. That's why they call it magic. It's not really magic. It's not really impossible. It just looks like that. So this is the craft of the magician done by a very crafty person himself, the devil. Now, he is trying to get you to really believe it. I saw a cartoon where a man is sawing the woman in half on the stage, and a man runs up to the stage and points and says, "Fraud!" And everybody's looking, well, of course, you don't think we're really cutting a person in half, do you? I mean, nobody believes that. We don't know how he did it, but we don't think that's really happening. Of course it's fraud. That's part of the magician's concept. The wiles of the devil. Now, this word was used in Ephesians 4:14, talking about how we are to grow and how the church is to build us up, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. By what? By the sleight. This is the word for sleight of hand. The sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait. This is our word, wily, wiles, to deceive. That they do these cunning arts to deceive us. So, Satan does this. This is the wiles of the devil. But how does it come to us? It comes by the devil's minions, by his people, by his preachers, by those who are saying, "I'm telling you the truth," and they're lying through their mouth. Satan and his demons are great deceivers, and there are many in this world that have been taught by them their cunning falsehood, urging you to truly believe, truly entrust your soul to them. And this is the one that we're dealing with. This is the crafty devil that we're dealing with. Now, the important thing here is we wouldn't be able to stand against this. We would be overwhelmed. We would be convinced. We would be fooled. Christ said that given enough time in the tribulation period, the Satan, the Antichrist, the false prophet would deceive even God's chosen ones if the time hadn't been shortened to the 7 years. So let us prepare for this. I'm not usually fooled by magic tricks. Why? Because I have a few thousand books on magic and I've read most of them. So I can see the magician performing and say, "He did that really well. I can appreciate the performance." But I'm not deceived. I know how he did that, or how I could do that, depending on what the trick is. So, what is the key to not being fooled by the devil? Thoroughly soak ourselves in the absolute truth of the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. The Word of God is truth. Therefore, we soak this in. We begin to think like God. We begin to think about human relationships as God thinks about it. That was one of the important things about that whole series in Sunday school on biblical love. Biblical love comes the closest to understanding God and the way He thinks. You and I need to come to the place where we see things through that lens. Then when things are just opposite of that, we say, "But that's not true." We may not know exactly how it's not true. We know it's not true. When we know the truth, the trickery doesn't work on us as well. I am still fooled, though I have a broad knowledge of the methods of magic. But knowing so many of the methods, I know that there's always one more method. So it doesn't work on us as well. We come then to number 7 from Ephesians 6:13. That you may be able. Again, he says, this is all about you having an ability that you don't have on your own, that you may be able the same as above. The real question, and I want you to grasp this concept of the battle, the real question is not just our willingness to fight. Yeah, put me in, I'll fight him, you know. It's not just willingness to fight. I was quoting some comic cartoon character, I can't remember. Who is it? Oh, yeah, that's right. Not just our willingness to fight, but our ability to fight such an enemy. A young man brought a message, one of our students brought a message for chapel, and he had as his passage Deuteronomy 31. And it was just a little sad because he didn't understand what that passage was teaching. Let me give you what the passage was teaching. This is Moses turning the armies of Israel over to Joshua to fight the good fight of faith against the powerful nations and the giants of Canaan. And he says, you know, God told me I can't go. Now, Joshua, it's all on you. Great, thanks, you know. Joshua has been working very hard as Moses' servant, personal servant, and helper, gopher, you know, and then taking over some of the work in the army. So here's what Moses said, Deuteronomy 31, 6 to 8. Be strong and of a good courage. All right, now that's the personal admonishment to Joshua. You be strong and of a good courage. We hear that in what we've just been through. We're to be strong in the power of the Lord. Then he says, fear not, nor be afraid of them. This is the enemy. Oh, why would they be afraid of the enemy? Did you hear me say giants? These are big hulking people that walk through a flight of arrows, you know. Goliath had a spear that was like a weaver's beam. I'm not sure about a weaver's beam, but I'm thinking it's not like a broomstick. It's a big old hunking 2x4 or 4x4 or something like that. That means once that spear is aimed and flying toward you, hardly anything's going to stop it before it pins you to the ground. Puts a hole in you about 6 inches, about a saucer-sized hole in you, you see. Yeah, pretty fearful, scary things. They're the tanks of the old warfare. Hard to stop them. And really bad to be in the way. Well, that was what they had. So he says, and you think about this, if you know what you're going up against, you'd be scared to death. You would say, what chance do I have against such vast armies, long-standing armies, in their own land, wherever I fight, that's on their battlefield, and they have giants. Did you hear me say that? And you and I would begin to say, I don't think I can do it. But here's the key. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. Why? For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. You see, God had called them to this. God had more of a reputation at risk than the people. He said, I will take you to the promised land. If he brings them in and has them killed, doesn't look so good for God. See, his reputation's on the line here. So it is with us. Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him, in the sight of all Israel, this was an official thing, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people into the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them. You see, this is the basis of faith, that God has said, do it. God called them to do this. This was not impudence. This was not, I'm sure we can do it. This was not false confidence. This was a lack of confidence in their human ability, but all confidence that God could do it. For God has sworn this. And thou shalt cause them to inherit it. There's the assurance, you see. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. You see, earlier he said, he doth go with thee. And here he says, he doth go before thee. You know, it's like the guy with the ball running the football in. He needs some people in front breaking up the resistance. And God's going in there before them. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. On that basis, fear not, neither be dismayed. Dismayed is this. Okay, we're ready for the battle. Let's peek over the hill. Oh, no. Look at, they look like a field of wheat here. Thousands of them. How many do we have? Hundreds. That's when you would be dismayed. I don't see how we can do it. It is that precisely that he's talking about when he says in the second time that you may be able. You are correct that you can't do it on your own. To fight the devil, he's a lot older than you. He has spiritual understanding that you won't have till you're in heaven. And he has been fooling people since the beginning. He knows his task. He knows his work. Who are you to stand against him? The world? You know, every day we live in the world, and we would like for the world to kind of like us. We always want people to like us. And the flesh, with us always. I want, I desire, I wish I could have. How are we, who are we to fight this? Well, buck up, because the ability is there if you rely on God. The eighth thing I saw, verse 13, that you may be able to what? To withstand. Where the other was, it said stand against, but was stand to, this is to stand anti. And this is a little different. This is not just up to it. This is taking it down. To withstand, instead of standing toward the enemy, withstand here refers to standing against. This is the anti-standing. So, we're not going to win this battle. We're fighting the battle and hope to keep standing against the enemy. That's our job. Ours is the job of the Alamo. You know? They didn't enter into that thinking they would win over the entire Mexican army. They were buying time for the army to get ready to receive the Mexican army. And so they would fight there at the Alamo, a thorn in the side, be something that they couldn't bypass. They would have to marshal all their ability and conquer them and then go on. And they did it perfectly. Most everybody died there. Davy Crockett died there. But in doing that, saved that whole area from the Mexican army. So our job is to stand. Don't be afraid, we'll accomplish what God wants for us. Until the great king comes to do battle against the head of Satan, The most we can hope to accomplish is to stand against his minions. So, with that in mind, we're not going to say, well, we worked really hard this week and we beat the devil. It's not going to happen. See? We just led the devil to the Lord. So, things are going to be okay. Now the world says, we agree with you. It's not going to happen. Every day you wake up, the same enemies are going to be there. Then again, number 9, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Someone said war is hell. All the people that were trying to tell us that war was glorious was somebody trying to get you to volunteer. In the day, the bad one, the evil here is everything that's bad. So have no illusions of a glorious war where we have no losses. This battle guarantees a really bad day. Every time I hear of or have some experience with a man who seemed to be a faithful preacher of the word, and then he fell by the wayside, gave in to the temptations of the devil, fell victim to the attitude of worldliness and sophistication, or just buckled and gave in to the lust of the flesh, ruined his ministry, caused all the world around to point to him and say, you see what this Christianity really is, just people pretending to be holy. Every time that happens, it just grieves me that these men somehow along the way thought it was more about them than it was God and others. And so they began to take shortcuts and they began to do the things that they knew were wrong. And then God exposed it and judgment began at the house of God. Have no illusions of a glorious warfare with no losses. We're going to see the losses. Look around who's here tonight. And it may be we'll find some losses. Now, in the early church, they had losses where martyrs were killed for their stand for the Lord. We might see that in the days to come. But even worse would be people that we know and love and have counted on actually giving up and just going the way of the world. Number 10, verse 13, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, or the King James margin says, or having overcome all. Having done all or accomplished all, when we are ready to hang our sword on the wall, when we are resting on our deathbed to be taken to heaven, we have one great hope. It is not that we beat the devil. It is not that the world caved in. We have one great hope, and that's number 11. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, having overcome all, to stand. We stayed standing. This returns to the earlier verse picturing the one standing at the end of the battle. Have no illusions about this battle. It's going to be a bad day. But you have no hope without the armor of God. But with it, you have this great hope. We may hope that we did not collapse in the fight. That we did not turn and run away. Or that we did not fall to the tricks of the enemy. This is where we need to be. This is where the Christian maturity says if we're going to be in the fight, don't have ridiculous expectations. This isn't about winning. This is about you not falling. which indicates that the devil's great goal is what? Knocking you down. Tearing you up. Getting you to say, as Satan said that Job would say, I'll curse you to your face. You treat me like that. So, as we begin this series looking at the armor of God that He provides, we're going to understand a couple of things. Some of this we have, and some of it we take up. So we'll be looking at these things in the weeks to come as God allows. But what are we expecting in this fight? The ability to stand. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, we look to the battle ahead, the rest of our lives, Father, given to battling the devil and his temptation for us to sin against you, the battle against the world trying to allure our attitude to be one of worldly wisdom. We pray that you might help us to win the battle against the flesh, to determine there are certain things that we could give into, but we're not going to be brought under the power of any of it. Father, we recognize we will not defeat those enemies. That will be King Jesus coming and overthrowing the power of Satan. But what we may be able to do with the help of your armor is at the end of our battle to stand. We may fall in the battle, but we'll fall standing. We will be holding the sword to the end. Perhaps our sword may have bounced off the enemy, and our shield has been punctured through, but it will be your armor and therefore able to withstand the attacks. Help us, Father, to not be the quitting soldier, but the standing one. With heads bowed, eyes closed, just between you and the Lord, I wonder if you would say, I see the battle coming, and with evil growing in our nation and all around us, it may be that the battle is going to come to us in a way never before. I want to be prepared, and my heart now longs to be the one who at the end of it all stands, not having given up, not having fallen to the enemy. If that's your prayer, if that's your concern, I wonder if you'd just slip your hand up and say, pray for me. Yes, amen, 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 amen. Father, like Joshua, you have given us a task so great that there's no way military intelligence would say we can win this. We need supernatural power. We need to be clothed with the full armor that you provide for us as believers. And with that in mind, Father, we long to understand it. We long to engage in the battle. And at the end, be able to say, we stood. We stood. We did not cave in, give up, run away. We stood. Father, we ask that you might strengthen our hands and our minds. Help us to learn how to wield the sword of the Spirit, how defensively to wield the shield of faith. Help us to understand these things so that we might wield them in a strong and strict way. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.